The sauce is the boss. Sheet Metal Workers Local 2. Demand metal excellence. Schneider Trucking. Now hiring drivers. Visit schneidertrucking.com. Capital Federal. True blue for over 125 years. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC. You've been listening to Kansas City Royals Baseball on the Royals Radio Network. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
This Odyssey Sports broadcast has been presented by Health Markets. Shop for health insurance your way.
Welcome into Vern's postgame show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow!
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
All right, good evening. Royals drop game two to the Orioles. 9-7, your final score. I can't wait to see where this show ends up tonight. Kansas City, where are we taking this one? If you were one of the 23,000 in attendance tonight, man, I'd love to hear from you because you guys brought the energy tonight. Bravo, Kansas City. This is what I was hoping to see. This type of turnout, this type of support, this type of stick-to-itiveness. Royals were down 7-0 before they came to the plate in the second inning. And this place was rocking in that four-run seventh inning when the Royals brought the game-tying run not only to the plate, but had the game-tying run 90 feet away. So first and foremost, great job, Royals fans. Way to turn out, way to back up the bravado. The bravado that we've all had over the past few seasons, which is, give us a winner and we'll show up. We love this team. Kansas City loves the Royals. Give us a reason to turn out, to stick through a three-hour game when our team falls behind 7 runs. Well, over the first 3 weeks of the season, this team has evidently shown you enough to do just that. So, first and foremost, way to go, Royals fans. If you are one of the 23,118, you get right to the front of the line. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Royals lose 9-7, now 13-8 on the season. Now the 7th best record in Major League Baseball and the 2nd best run differential in Major League Baseball. Now, there's so much to dissect in this game. Royals use 7 different pitchers. Baltimore uses 7 different pitchers in a game where the starting pitchers were the headliners. The favorite in the American League to win, Cy Young, Corbin Burns. And on the other side, it's our guy, Cole Reagans, who came into tonight with the 4th best odds of winning the American League Cy Young Award. And what do you know? 16 runs are put on the board. 14 pitchers are used. 22 hits are recorded. And I know we're disappointed that the boys fell at home, snapping their 9-game home winning streak. I understand you're disappointed. But you got your money's worth, didn't you? For the 23,000 that turned out, you were entertained. You were entertained by your boys in blue. But my biggest takeaway from this 9-7 loss is just one simple observation. And that's for the first time this season, your starting pitcher didn't give you a chance to win. Now, I'm not about to go in on Cole Reagans, who saw his season ERA more than double tonight as he allows 7 runs on 9 hits and records 5 outs. 21 games in. I mean, is that getting through? Can you truly understand that? 21 games in, And for the first time this season, your starting pitcher didn't get the job done. That used to happen 2 to 3 times a week last year. Now, I'm not trying to say this show needs to be a, hey, aren't we lucky that this team doesn't stink? Hey, aren't we fortunate this team's likely going to avoid 100 losses? That's not what I'm driving at here. What I'm attempting to point out is you've had a chance to win each and every one of the first 20 games. And the first time your starting pitcher lets you down, you still had a chance to win. Now, I'm not going to go crazy about the comeback. We could acknowledge that on the first night where a starting pitcher doesn't hold up his end of the bargain, everybody else picks him up. The bullpen picks him up. The offense picks him up. And we got our money's worth, despite the fact that the thing that we rely on most in 2024 did not come through. The comeback was nice, but the comeback, if I'm being honest with you, again, guys, I'm not trying to make this about Cole Reagans, but I'm being honest with you. My only game note following this 9-7 loss is, can you believe it took 21 games for a starting pitcher to give you a poor effort, a porous performance? But yeah, the comeback, it was nice, but it's not surprising. I'm not making too much out of the comeback. This to me isn't a reflection of a gritty squad. I knew Salvi was... Where should I begin? Am I surprised that Salvi put the cape on again? It's got his name on it. It's Salvi's cape. So no, when he hits a 3-run home run and ends Corbin Burns' night, I'm not shocked. When he drives in 2 runs the very next inning to make it a 1-run game, no, I'm not shocked. Salvi, Bobby, Vinny, Michael, they drove in every Royals run, and they scored all but one of the Royals runs. I knew those four were good. You knew those four were good before the season even started. They're your top four hitters. They've shown me nothing that would lead me to believe that they're going to roll over in the second inning. Nothing about this organization for the past 5 months, since that aggressive offseason month of December, nothing about this team, players, coaches, front office, ownership, nothing has been timid. Everything has been aggressive. I'm not expecting any hesitancy, timidity. I'm not expecting any quit. So, listen, we can celebrate the offense. You guys can take this show wherever you want. But Salvi had the big hits. Michael scored 2 runs. Bobby had the infield knock. Vinny was on base 3 times thanks to a pair of walks. Yeah, that's what those four do. 913-586-7610, that's the phone number, as my game notes are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. Let's start off in Lee's Summit. Gabe, you're going to hit leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. I love your content. I was wondering about your thoughts on Isbell. We got two outfielders down in AAA, and Waters and Eaton. They're tearing it up. Last I checked, they're both well over 300. So I was just wondering what your thoughts were on Isbell, especially after his poor performance tonight.
Yeah, a terrible decision on the base paths, no doubt about it. Thanks for the phone call, Gabe. Yeah, Kyle Isbell runs into the second out, makes the second out of that 4-run seventh inning, does so at third base, trying to go first to third on Michael Garcia, single to left. Yeah, first to third, the ball's in front of you. The left fielder is Colton Cowser, a defensive replacement with a strong arm. Bobby's coming to the dish. You're already in scoring position. Yeah, and Matt Quatrero said as much after the game. Izzy would like that one back. That was a poor decision. Izzy makes the right decision there in the seventh. We head to the eighth, tied up at eight apiece. No doubt about it. Bad night for Kyle Isbell. 0 for 2 at the dish, and then a backbreaking base-running miscue. Yeah, backbreaking's a little strong. But a glaring base-running mistake there in that seventh inning. What do I think about Kyle Isbell? I think he's the best defensive center fielder on the 40-man roster. I don't want Kyle Isbell to go anywhere. I don't think Kyle Isbell's going to go anywhere either. Kyle Isbell, in my opinion, has a very simple request being asked of him by this organization, and that is play exceptional defense, gold glove defense in center field, execute the game plan offensively. That's really it. You know, get a bunt down, go first to third, take the extra 90 feet, be smart, turn the lineup over. No, he didn't get the job done tonight. Right? Didn't do that second part of the job. But offensively, he's your nine hitter. You're punting on offense in center field, in my opinion. And he's holding it down defensively, doing a tremendous job out in center. And I'm not trying to sit here and disparage anybody else. But first of all, I don't really care all that much about AAA numbers. I certainly don't care about AAA batting average. You know, I got nothing but love for Nate Eaton. Best of luck to him. Nate Eaton can't do anything as well as Kyle Isbell outside of his arm. You know, Nate Eaton's got a better arm. Other than that, Kyle Isbell does everything better on the diamond than Nate Eaton. Drew Waters, listen, Drew Waters was just removed from a game on Wednesday by Mike Gerschle. Was basically benched on Thursday. Came back in a big way last night with a home run and a stolen base. But what has Drew Waters done at the big league level that's as good as what Kyle Isbell has done defensively? Right. What Isbell brings defensively, now keep in mind the Royals have the best defense in Major League Baseball. Depending on what metric you look at, they're top five in every category. Defense starts up the middle. Catcher, second, short, center field. Okay, so you want to get rid of Kyle Isbell and put who in center? Okay, you said Nate Eaton. I'll throw that one away. Drew Waters, why? Drew Waters is nowhere near the defender of Kyle Isbell and hasn't shown any consistent offensive output to make me believe he's going to offset the regression that he would bring defensively. So no, Kyle Isbell's not going anywhere. Listen, guys can just have a bad game. They don't immediately need to be cut or sent down. Can make a bad decision, and that's what happened tonight for Kyle Isbell. Thanks for the phone call. Way to get us started. Way to zero right in on the biggest negative of the night. Let's go to Josh, who's in Missouri. Josh, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. So that's a game tonight. Great atmosphere. You know, it's been fun to watch this team this year. I hope the fans will come out and support them because they deserve it. They've gone toe-to-toe with Baltimore. Baltimore, in my opinion, is the best team in the American League. Their ability to foul off pitches until they can get a pitch to drive is pretty impressive. So it's been fun, and I hope the fans continue to support these guys because they're giving us a reason to support them, which is what we've asked for. So that's all
well
I have
said.
To say.
Yeah, very well done, Josh. Thank you very much for the phone call. I believe the number that Jake Eisenberg passed along on the network was the Orioles fouled off 52 pitches tonight. And I caught the tail end of Jake on the postgame. I don't think he was being facetious. I mean, you look at some of those battles. Shoot, just the battles that John Schreiber had in his 29-pitch eighth inning. A 9-pitch battle with Adley Rutschman, an 8-pitch battle with Anthony Santander, and even when you go back and look at that bumpy second inning for Cole Ragans, Adley Rutschman, a 10-pitch at-bat that ends in an RBI single to center. Yeah, Ragans just couldn't put Baltimore's hitters away. And he was two strikes with almost all of them, and yet they would keep fighting off those pitches, and eventually he would make a mistake. A poorly located changeup to Ramon Urias puts the Orioles on the board in the second inning. Poorly located slider to James McCann makes it 2-0. A 9-pitch at-bat that ends with a cutter up in the zone to Adley Rutschman makes it 3-0 Baltimore. And then it just continued. Mountcastle, Santander, Westberg, 4 more runs come in to score, and it's 7-0 Baltimore heading to the bottom of the second inning. It would remain 7-0 until the sixth inning in Salvi's 3-run bomb. Anthony Veneziano gives one back in the top of the seventh inning, so now it's 8-3 Baltimore. 4 runs come in to score in the bottom half of the seventh inning, and we got a 1-run game. John Schreiber would give one back in the top half of the eighth inning, and that's how we arrive at our final score. Baltimore 9, Kansas City 7. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. Let's go to TJ, who's leaving Kauffman Stadium. TJ, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, just calling, like you said, heading out of Kauffman Stadium. It was an unbelievable atmosphere, so cool. We had seats pretty close behind home plate, and multiple times I turned around and just looked at every single fan on their feet in that big seventh inning and then in the ninth, too. It was pretty awesome just to have a good atmosphere once again in Kauffman Stadium and a cold night, too. But, yeah,
no
I was
doubt.
Calling because I was curious what you thought about the back half of our order because, like you said, those top four guys carried us, and it felt like Q was just throwing in other guys at the bottom of the order to see if anyone could spark some life.
I think Q's been pretty consistent as far as how he's used his bench, the way that he'll mix and match depending on which relievers are coming in. But as far as the bottom of the lineup, Massey, Renfro, Isbell tonight combined to go 0-for-7, but it's Massey's second game back. He was big last night. Hunter Renfro has driven in a run in 6 of his last 10 games. And like I said with Kyle Isbell, man, I'm really not expecting much from him defensively. Just give me gold glove caliber center field, base running decisions, and that's all I'm asking from Kyle Isbell. You know, Nelson Velasquez still has that, he went 0-for-3 tonight with a walk and a run scored. Velasquez still with an OPS around 800. Now, this game tonight, to me, is very simple. Sure, Salvi and Bobby and Michael and Vinny made it close late. This game's simple. For the first time all season, your starting pitcher didn't give you a chance to win. End of story. I'm not saying you need to celebrate the fact, but much like TJ there, take a step back and turn around and just look back and drink it all in. TJ, you sound like my kind of guy, where you just take those mental snapshots of a raucous Kauffman Stadium. How about not only the Bobby chants? The Bobby chants are always great. Those Bobby chants in the seventh inning were great. And then how you guys seamlessly moved into the Vinny chants and then the Salvi chants. It was wonderful. But no, turn around, take a quick snapshot of the first 20 games. 20 straight games where they were close, where your starting pitcher gave you a chance to win. Like I said a moment ago, last year, the year before that, we were lucky if 2 out of 7 games, or if we look at the first 20, you know, you're hoping that your starting pitcher gave you a chance to win half of them. You know, 10 of 20. In 2024, they went a perfect 20 for 20 of keeping the boys in it. Yeah, Kyle Isbell made a mistake, no doubt. Royals had chances offensively, no doubt. This game's about Cole Reagans. Gave up 7 runs and recorded 5 outs. You turn the page and you get ready for tomorrow because Seth Lugo's on the bump. Seth Lugo, a perfect 4-for-4 in his starts. Not only has he given you a chance to win in all 4 of his starts, he's thrown 4 quality starts to open up 2024. He squares off with Cole Irvin. It's a 1:10 first pitch, and I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 12 noon, and I'll give you a chance to win Royals tickets to the game of your choosing, the HDH Reunion Weekend. I have tickets to the Friday game with Herrera throwing out the first pitch, the Saturday game with Wade Davis, and the Sunday game with Greg Holland. You choose which tickets you play for, and if you beat the pitch clock, the tickets are yours. So be listening tomorrow and every game day, 1 hour before first pitch, for your chance to win some free Royals tickets. All right, let's go to Bart, who's leaving Kauffman Stadium. Bart, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, this is Bart Cheevers. Heading out of the K, man. We were out there supporting the Blue Nation. And, the 23K that showed up tonight, we brought it. There at the 7th, we started coming back. Man, I tell you what, it was something. You look around. I'd like to echo Josh's sentiments there earlier about, you know, looking around and seeing the fans. And, you know, as a sight to behold, man, I started to get a little chubbed up and had a heart on. And I was just thinking, man, this is going to get no better.
I got you, Bart. Thank you very much, man. You got that. Let's go to Bobby in Leawood. Bobby, let's see if you've celebrated your 15th birthday. Bobby didn't want to follow Bart, and I understand that. Let's see if Jared and Gunner, who are calling us from Blue Springs, let's see what they have. Go ahead, guys.
Hey, Vern.
Hello.
What's happening?
Hey,
what's
going on, fellas? That got a little weird with, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, that did get weird. You're right.
Got a little weird with Bart there, but I just wanted to tell you, like, I just dropped $150 at the K with my son, Gunner. I was raised on Brett White and Saberhagen, and the last time I was more excited about the Royals was in 2015 when my son and I were jumping around in the living room after the World Series. We had a great time tonight. The atmosphere was amazing, and I was always, my lifelong hero has been George Brett, and tonight I had this feeling. I'm like, Salvi is my favorite Royal of all time.
Wow.
I don't know that he gets enough. I don't know that Salvi gets enough credit for everything he's done for us through the years, through the bad years, through the good years. He is the ultimate Royal, in my opinion. And I just loved watching him get standing ovations tonight and come through in the clutch like he has his whole career, no matter if we were having a bad season or a good season. So me and my son, my 12-year-old, left the park today and thought we would call in. I'm a longtime listener. Thank you for being such a great voice for the Royals all over the years you've been doing this. And shout out to all the hard work that you guys do at 610.
No, it's our pleasure. Thank you very much for that phone call, Jared. I hope you and Gunner get home safely and hope to see you out here at Kauffman Stadium soon. Hey, he makes a great point. We have a lot of other people on hold, so I want to get back to the phone calls. I don't want to get started talking about Salvi because you know how romantic I can get when I talk about the great number 13. And the energy and the enthusiasm, the love of the game, the love of his teammates, the love of the competition and the work that he puts on display every single day. Even in those July days when he could ask for a day off, I'll never forget how sick he was in St. Louis, and he still forced Mike Matheny to put his name in the lineup. Can barely see out of one eye. It's 106 degrees in August, and I'm playing for a team that is careening towards 100 losses. Yeah, I want to go catch. Yeah, I'm going to work harder than everybody else. All these me first, what's the deal? What's the point? All these whiners that I'm surrounded by, all these losers that I'm surrounded by, I will not be dragged down. Jared, you're right. We don't fully appreciate Salvador Perez, and yet everyone appreciates Salvi. Does that make sense? Like, I don't think there's a Royals fan out there that doesn't love Salvi and appreciate Salvi, and yet I still think we're not giving him enough love, mainly because of the position that he plays. No, Whit Merrifield, a lot of guys, Alex Gordon grinded through a lot of losses. They weren't behind the dish in Kansas City catching 130, 40, 50 games. Well, that's a pretty big statement, Jared, for someone that grew up idolizing George Brett to now say that that Salvi is your favorite Royal. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'd say Salvi has the second greatest career in Royals history. Is, you know, seated at the right hand of George Brett when you're going through the Holy Trinity of Royals baseball. Now, Bobby might pass them both up. Bobby might be the most talented player to ever put on this jersey, but he hasn't had the moments yet, like Salvi, obviously, like George. Now, Bobby's got to play in a meaningful game in June. Or July, or August, or September, and certainly October before he joins that conversation with George and Salvi and Gordo and Frank White and Amos Otis and all the legends. Speaking of Gordo, how about that first pitch? Were you guys in the building soon enough to see Gordo throw, I believe that was his son, Max, little sidearm sling from the future Royals Hall of Famer? That thing had some zip. And the kid behind the dish acting like it's nothing. Quit showing off, old man. Well, that was great. Great to see the legendary Alex Gordon back at the K. Let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Paul in Kansas City. Paul, you're on the postgame show as the Royals lose to the Orioles 9-7. What's going on, Paul? Oh, I think someone's chickening out.
Hello.
Go ahead, Paul. What do you got, bud?
I love it out there. It's so exciting to have Kauffman Stadium electric again. It really brought back memories of the 2014 and 2015 season. The crowd getting into it again. It's just, I love the Royals being competitive.
Tell me about it. I'm with you. Thank you very much for the phone call. Phone lines open up for you. 913-586-7610. Salvi hit career home run number 252 tonight. I mentioned George Brett. Salvi, 65 big flies away from matching the great franchise record. 65 away from matching George Brett. 48 away from that nice round number of 300. Salvi can get to 300, play another 4 or 5 seasons. I think we're going to be taking a pilgrimage to Cooperstown for that speech and that party. 913-586-7610. Royals now 13-8 on the season, sitting in second place in the American League Central. Let's go to Chad in Overland Park. Chad, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking the call, Vern. We're on the way home from the K. We were out there tonight. I would say we were sitting next to a couple of young guys, Baltimore Orioles fans, and they, when I said, where's Rutschman? And they said, well, he's DH. I'm like, Sal is, he catches every night. He wants to catch every night. But anyway, Vern, they said it was, this game's over. It's 7-0. And we ended up 9-7. And It's just awesome. We're back.
It is. I'm with you.
It's fun, man. It's fun, Vern. And I appreciate it, man. Thanks. Agree with everybody else. Enjoy hearing your voice, man. Keep it up. Thanks.
All right, Chad. Hey, man. I hope you're not getting behind the wheel, bud. Appreciate the phone call. You know, I had it written down, that goofball that called earlier. I should have known he was going to be a goof when he said Blue Nation. Was anyone affiliated with the Royals ever refer to themselves or their friends or this group or the crowd as Blue Nation? I've heard of Royals Nation, right? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Dylan in KCK, you're next up on the postgame show on 610 Sports Radio. How are you, Dylan?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing terrific, man. What'd you think of that 9-7 loss to the Orioles?
Man, what a hard-fought battle by our boys in blue. But the whole night, really all I could focus on was just how sexy Bobby Wood Jr. is.
I thought you were going to say me. Man, Dylan, oh, man, I thought you were going to give me the compliment. No, I don't need to hear any more. I've got plenty of your nonsense. I got you, Dylan. You can hit the road. We're done with your shenanigans. Bobby Witt Jr. tonight, 1-for-5 with a run scored as he beats out an infield single in that 4-run seventh inning. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. If you want to make advances towards Bobby Witt Jr., MJ Melendez, or anybody on this Royals team, feel free on the text line or direct message the player on Twitter. Our text line number is 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. If you're interested in making a comment on baseball, the team, or the future of the Kansas City Royals, call me up at that same number, 913-586-7610. Let's all take a quick timeout. We'll regroup and hopefully come back stronger in our second segment. Royals lose 9-7. We get back to it after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Here's the pitch. Perez drives it high in the air, deep to left. Hayes races back at the fence. It's gone! Salvador Perez puts a jolt into Kauffman Stadium. A three-run homer puts the Royals back in the ballgame.
Did just that. Jake Eisenberg on the call, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. Royals found themselves down 7-0 after the top half of the second inning. It would remain 7-0 until that three-run home run from Salvi with two outs in the sixth inning. Career home run number 252, which matches Joe Torre for 11th most in baseball history among catchers. Salvi's just 8 back of Javi Lopez for top 10 all time. 7-3 after that bomb in the 6th. Royals put 4 on the board in the 7th. And we had a one-run game. 8-7 after 7. Well, 8-7. Baltimore heading to the 8th inning. Baltimore would get their 9th run. This would come off of John Schreiber as he surrenders an earned run for the first time this season. 11th appearance of the year for Schreiber, and he finally gives up an earned run. So 9-7 heading to the bottom of the 8th inning. Royals got a 2-out double from Dairon Blanco, but Michael Garcia was unable to do anything with that. And the boys went down 1-2-3 against Craig Kimbrell in the 9th. Thanks in large part to a terrific diving catch from Anthony Santander for the first out to rob Bobby Witt Jr. of what would have certainly been a leadoff double. Who knows where the game would have gone from there. And I see the text line mentioning who knows where the game would have gone if Michael Garcia maybe ran hard out of the box in the first inning. If you missed it, Michael leading off the bottom of the first after Cole Reagan strikes out 3 in the top half. Michael Garcia hits a 106-mile-per-hour line drive off of Corbin Burns. Burns quickly recovers and gathers the ball, and Garcia is, not hustling down the first baseline because the pitcher has the ball, and he's going to just underhand it to the first baseman. But Burns bobbles the ball as he attempts to collect it. Garcia then shows the kind of effort fans want to see, coaches, teammates want to see, but he's a little too late, and the ball beats him there by a hair, and he's out. Would this game have been different if he busted out of the box? Probably not. Again, Cole Reagans gave up 7 runs and recorded 5 outs, and for the first time all season, your starting pitcher didn't give you a chance to win. To me, that's the headline. And it's not a negative headline. I know it might sound negative, but it is a celebration of dominating starting pitching. I mean, even with this performance, even with 7 earned runs in just an inning and 2/3 from Cole Reagans, the Royals still have the 3rd-best ERA in baseball. Royals starting pitchers still have the 3rd-best ERA in baseball. Rotation has an ERA of 2.77. 3rd-best ERA, 3rd-most innings pitched, 3rd-best whip, 5th-best opponent's batting average. The starting rotation has been the reason you're 13-8. The reason you have the 2nd-best run differential. We'll get to the text line coming up in just a moment, but I want to go back to the phone calls as more than 23,000 turned out on this chilly Saturday night. Let's go to Garrett in Olathe. Garrett, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks, Vern. Man, that comeback was pretty good. My friend Ben Wen, this was his first time going to the game, and
all right, Ben.
I think he enjoyed it pretty good, and I just hope that we continue to dominate the starting pitching game, Vern. Thanks for the phone call.
Yeah, appreciate you placing it. Seth Lugo on the hill for tomorrow's finale, the rubber match of this 3-game series, and really the rubber match of the season. No, the Royals trying to earn a split of the season series, I should say. Yeah, right now it's 3-2, Baltimore with the edge. Seth Lugo squares off with lefty Cole Irvin. 1:10 for the first pitch, and I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 12 noon. Let's go to Enoch in Overland Park. You're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hello. I was wondering how you thought about Anthony out there tonight. He did pretty great for me. I think he could really replace Jordan Lyles.
Talking about Anthony Veneziano. Appreciate the phone call. Listen. You know, Jordan Lyles is dealing with a personal matter, so I'm not rooting certainly against him. I'm rooting for him, whatever he is dealing with. I wish him nothing but the best and hope to see him back soon. Anthony Veneziano, yeah, keep it up. It was an inning. He threw an inning, gave up 2 hits, an unearned run. I'm not going to read too much into it. Nice season debut, Anthony Veneziano. But if I'm going to... No. Yeah, great job. Again, I'm not trying to say anything negative about him. I'm not going to say anything negative about Jordan Lyles. But, you know, if you're going to replace that guy, that means you're going to pay that guy to go away. And Jordan Lyles hasn't allowed an earned run this season. I'm not saying he's a great pitcher, but it's not as if he's earned a pink slip. I don't know why we're going after him. Best of luck. Or, thoughts are with Jordan Lyles and whatever's going on there. Let's go to Edward in Kansas City. Edward, you're on the postgame show as the Royals lose to Baltimore in Game 2. Final score 9-7. Go ahead.
How do you think Salvador Perez has done this year?
I think he's been sensational for a 33-year-old catcher. I think this... Appreciate the phone call, Edward. I think the energy from spring training... energy is the wrong word. The collective focus, the clarity in which the veterans and the younger Royals spoke about the team goals, I think that energized Salvi. I think Salvi noticed pretty quickly that it's not all on me. That we have a player in Bobby Witt Jr. that's better than me. We have some other guys that can be as good as I am. Maybe not work as hard, be the leader that I am, maybe not the all-around player, certainly without the career that I have. But for 2024, Vinny can do a lot of the great things. Vinny can bring a tool set to the game that's just as loaded as the one I bring. MJ can do that. Michael can do that. Bobby's got a tool bag unlike any we've ever seen in Kansas City. Salvi's sitting in his corner in spring training. watching the way that Waka and Lugo and Stratton and Smith worked that clubhouse, instilled confidence into those young pitchers, heaped praise on those young pitchers and hoisted them up, preparing them to lead this team in 2024. Salvi's been outstanding. Salvi's reached base safely in 10 straight games, hitting .351 in that stretch, 5 extra base hits, 13 RBI. How about this? In that 10-game stretch, Salvi's 3 walks, 3 strikeouts. Shoot, I don't even need to bring you the sample size of 10 games. I don't need a qualifier. I could just tell you his season stats. Salvi leads the American League with 22 RBI. His 6 home runs trail only the great Mike Trout and the recently injured Tyler O'Neill for the American League lead. Much like he was 3 years ago, so far in the month of April, Salvi's one of the great clutch bats and one of the true power hitters in the junior circuit. Nice hearing from you, Edward. Hope to hear from you more often, buddy. Great phone call. Phone line open for you at 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. For the season, Salvi's hitting .342 with an OPS of .995. Both best on the team. A 33-year-old catcher who I thought had his groin ripped apart by Starling Marte in that slide in New York. A 33-year-old catcher who has one of the 10 best players on, one of the 10 best players on the planet on his team. Salvi leads in average, OPS, homers, ribbies, leadership, swag, all of it. He now has 834 career RBIs. He's just 3 away from matching Mike Sweeney for 5th most in Royals franchise history. Man, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch these next few years of Salvador Perez starting to really check some gargantuan boxes. 300 home runs, starting to pass Hall of Famers on the all-time list of games played behind the dish and games, home runs by a catcher, climbing up the franchise record books, really sidling up right next to the great George Brett. Let's go back to the phone calls. Brad in Olathe. Brad, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, man. So let me ask you this. Okay. Just because it's not what I called about, but based off what you were just saying, the low outside pitch, is he laying off that?
No, he hasn't laid off that his entire career.
Okay, well, I didn't think so from what I'm saying. And I'm somebody who, the 500 games I've seen live, probably 350 of them were in the 90s. So I've gone through the trenches. What I will say, it feels like to me, the team now, like I felt this way in 14-15, it was gimmicky. I was proud that it was gimmicky, but it feels like we have a real team this year so far. So it's a little different feeling. It feels like we have a competitive team that matches up with the rest of the league, not trying to trick them. So that's been great. What do you think about that?
Appreciate the phone call, Brad. Yeah, I didn't view 14 and 15 as gimmicky. I view this team very similar to 14 and 15 in that. And again, I'm talking about April of 2024, 21 games. Okay. What 2015 and what 2014, what those teams did was 162 and then a stroll all the way to the World Series. So the comparisons are unfair and lack the proper reverence for champions. But when I say I see the similarities, it's, well, it's what I said earlier today on the On Deck show. And it's what I say to, you know, callers when they're, oh, what are we going to do about Kyle Isbell? What are we going to do about Mikel Garcia's slump? Mikel, by the way, 2-for-5 tonight, 2 runs scored, his first extra base hit in 17 days. Oh, what are we going to do about, you know, Will Smith? What? My answer has been pretty consistent. So long as your starting pitching remains one of the 5 best units in the game, so long as your defense remains one of the 5 best units in the game, and your base running is ranked as one of the 5 best in the sport, so long as those things continue, you're going to cruise to the division title, because when you have exceptional pitching, very good defense, and a lot of team speed, it levels every playing field. I don't care how much money the Dodgers spend. I don't care what the Yankees did or how much homegrown talent the Atlanta Braves have. When you come to Kauffman to face the 2014 team or the 2015 team or to face the 2024 team in April, the playing field is leveled. In 14 and 15, defense, check. Team speed, check. Pitching, check. Relief pitching was exceptional. But you go back and look at that 2015 team, their rotation's ERA was in the bottom third of the league. Innings pitched from that rotation in 2015 was bottom third in the league. Look at the offensive output in 2015 from second base, shortstop, and right field. All three positions had an OPS barely in the 600s, and yet that team won a pennant. That team won a World Series because the playing field was leveled, because you had an exceptional bullpen, an exceptional defensive unit, and exceptional team speed. Now this year, it's not the bullpen, it's the rotation. Fine by me, rotation or bullpen. If you have a dominating unit to go with the defense and the speed, you're going to be just fine. You can withstand a few slumping bats, a disappointing arm in the bullpen. You can withstand all of that because you're going to find yourself in close games. And if you have talent, offensive talent like this team has, if you have a confident group of hitters that focus on the little things and pay attention to the details and take the extra 90 feet and go first to third, well, then you're going to end up in the postseason. So to call 14 and 15 gimmicky, I don't understand. The most important things in this game, pitching, defense, and speed, 14 and 15, they had that. And in April of 2024, they have it as well. But no, to me, there was nothing gimmicky about the championship team of 2015. They were out for blood. 2014, yeah, over the course of the regular season, no, they didn't hit a lot of home runs. They didn't draw very many walks. But when it came to the wild card game, DSCS, World Series, it's a level playing field because our bullpen is dominating, our defense makes all the routine plays and occasionally the spectacular, and our base running is going to eventually suffocate you or put you on your heels, and we're going to pounce. Thanks for the phone call. Now, what you said is something that I've heard a lot of people say is, man, this is fun. They're actually playing as a team. It's just pitching, guys. I hate to simplify it, but that's what this whole thing has been. It's just pitching. Your top 3 in Major League Baseball in pitching. Your rotation is one of the five best units in the sports. It's a close clubhouse. But it's not as if these guys all came up together. You know, you've seen how much change there's been. We can describe it a number of different ways, but the bottom line just reads pitching. Very good pitching. Thanks for the phone call. 9-7, Royals drop game two to the Orioles, setting up a rubber game tomorrow. Seth Lugo on the hill. It's a 1-10 first pitch. On Deck show begins at 12 noon. Even with the starting pitchers, right? You guys want to make a big deal about, oh, they all get together after the start and talk about it. Oh, man, look how close they are. Yeah. That's great. I hope they stay healthy all season. I hope it's those five having their post-game powwow together over the course of the next 5 months. I hope that continues. But if it doesn't, if someone does have to take a brief TO on the IL, well, then what? Do they still look like a fun team that is loving on each other? We'll see. I hope so. But just like tonight's bottom line is, for the first time all season, your starting pitcher didn't give you a chance to win. And I think that's a positive headline. It speaks volumes of where this organization's at in 2024. The story of the season has been the starting pitching. The story of tonight is the starting pitching. Salvi's been a stud prior to this season, prior to tonight. Great comeback. I saw these guys come back last August and September. They've had fights. Shoot, they had fight in 2019. Yeah, Dozier and Mondesi, plenty of teams fight and come back. They're pros. But not many teams have the type of pitching talent that we've seen here in 2024 from your boys in blue. Let's go to Jeffrey in Kansas City. Jeffrey, you're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Jameson. My bad. Jameson, you're on 610 Sports Radio. My apologies. Go ahead, buddy.
Hi. How do you feel about how Salvi is hitting on out-of-zone pitches?
Jameson, thanks for the phone call. I just touched on Salvador Perez. How's he doing on pitches out of the zone? That's, you know, he's always been a bad ball hitter. That's not going to change. Salvi's a legend. His number is going to be retired. He leads the team in every offensive category. I'm always over the moon about Salvador Perez, and I'm certainly not going to bemoan the fact that he's a free swinger. He's been a free swinger for a dozen years now. How about Ty in Lee Summit? Ty, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. I just want to say, love the show. I was out there in Kansas City. It was electric, as always. I just want to touch up on Salvi's play this beginning of the year. He's hitting .340, highest batting average on the team. And as we're saying, he's a bad ball hitter. He only has 12 strikeouts on our team, which is one of the lowest on our teams as well. And I just want to also say, after every single time he gets injured and comes off the IL, he's electric. I just have no idea how he just continues to do this at age 33. I have no idea. Anyway, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ty. Appreciate it. From Lee Summit back to Kansas City, let's talk with Dan. You're on 610 Sports Radio. Dan, appreciate you hanging on. How are you tonight?
Great, Vern. Had a great time out at the K. I was out there with my son. I think it's our sixth game so far this season.
Wow.
I've been taking him out there since I could carry him in for free back in 2010 or so, you know, so we've been through a lot of games. And I think right now it feels to him like it did to me going out there in 12 and 13, watching that young crew kind of grow up out there at the K. And he's has that same feeling, I think, for the team we're watching play right now. But to hit on something here, starting pitching, it's been great. I think we're in a great spot. April 20th, about to have a guy on the mound going for his fifth win. I don't know how long it's been since that's been the case in Kansas City. And then in spite of the outing today that we had by Reagan's, seven runs, second inning, we have the bullpen on the mound. And what they do, they held the front. They held the front and gave us a chance.
And it wasn't easy for that bullpen either, because that Baltimore offense makes you work.
It's a great team on the other side. And yes, I think it's something that's probably been inspiring for our team to see what the O's turned around last year, knowing that we're a group of young guys with a lot of talent getting ready to do the same thing.
That's a good point. Yeah, Adam Frazier has said as much. Frazier was on that Baltimore team last year and was intrigued while watching this Kansas City club from the other dugouts. He's been a great asset to that clubhouse. And, you know, appreciate the phone call. That series in Baltimore, I think, was the litmus test that this team needed. They believed that they had talent. They wanted to know where it stacked up. And when they went to Baltimore and had a chance to win all three of those games, I think it served as a validation of sorts that what we saw in spring, what we thought we saw in that season opening series against Minnesota, that's real. This is a very far cry from that Royals team that lost 106 games a season ago. So I heard a lot of people, especially on the national level, talking about this series this weekend as some sort of a litmus test for the Royals. And I vehemently disagree. The Royals left Baltimore feeling as if they gave two games away, believing that they are on the same level as the reigning American League East champs. They came home and rattled off seven wins in a row. Went on the road and went 500. Came home to take on that same Baltimore team looking for redemption, looking to prove themselves right, that we gave those games away in Baltimore and we are now going to take those games in Kansas City. They did that last night. Salvi and the Big Bats tried to do it again tonight. Seth Lugo and the Arms hopefully will do it tomorrow afternoon. Great phone call. Very nice to hear from you. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Dan, man, I want to hear from you more often as the season progresses, especially if you're taking in that many games with the fam. Let's go to Jason. You're next up on 610 Sports Radio as the Royals fall to the Orioles 9-7.
Yeah, Vern.
Yo, Jason.
Hey, this is Bart calling in from earlier. I think we got disconnected.
Oh, we don't want to hear from you anymore. You can hit the road. Let's try Cole in Lenexa. That dude needs to get a life on a Saturday. Cole, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Josh. I called you earlier in the season, and I had been to two games, and I said I was going to go April 20th. And I went out to the ballpark tonight, and it was disappointing to see Cole get taken out there in the second inning because he wasn't doing so good. But man, it's interesting how that vibe sticks around the field. It's like this team, it's early and we can come back. Like we can do this. And watching it happen, man, and seeing like I brought some classmates and they were like, you know, this team is competing. Is like, and I'm like, yeah, I know. That's like the whole fun of this. It's like every night is competitive. Even when our starting pitching isn't there, somebody steps up. One aspect of this team is stepping up, defense or offense or pitching. Something is happening with this team, and I love seeing it, dude. It's, like, so exciting. And, I can't get enough, and I was actually really surprised with our bullpen tonight because they were taxed, and to see how well they did, it was impressive. It was very, very impressive. I think that even some of the stuff that happened, like there was a couple of pass balls with Salvi, and I just think that that's not really necessarily like all on pitching, all on Salvi. You know, it's kind of just one of those things that can happen sometimes. Even
well, the glove broke. Yeah, the glove. His glove broke. Yeah.
Oh, I was way up high. Definitely could not see that.
Appreciate the phone call, Cole. Yeah, the bullpen tonight, 7 1/3 innings of one-run relief, one run on 6 hits. The bullpen did walk 3, struck out 5. Now, Cole, I'm sorry to do this to you, but I do have to correct you, or at least give you my opinion that I believe will serve as a correction. You mentioned that, you know, man, the offense, you know, someone always comes through. If the starting pitcher doesn't do his job, somebody's going to pick him up. And, you know, tonight it was the offense, and that's not really true. This is the first time all season your starting pitcher has not given you a chance to win. First time. So I hope it doesn't happen again. I hope it happens once every 21 games, and on that 21st game, Salvi, Vinny, Bobby, and Michael, the bats that we all knew coming into the season were legit. I hope those guys have big nights that coincide with the worst nights from your starting pitcher. But the offense hasn't really been asked to carry a load the way that they were tonight. The bullpen hasn't been asked to carry the load like they were tonight. To say that someone's always going to step up, I can't get there yet. I haven't seen that. What I've seen is a starting rotation that has been unbelievable. I hate to be a stickler, Cole, but I had to mention that. Angel Zerpa, scoreless outing tonight. Zerpa has fired zeros in 8 of his 9 appearances in 2024. Royals lose 9-7. The record is now 13-8. Second place in the American League Central, and Seth Lugo's on the hill for tomorrow's finale. Quick timeout. We'll hear from Salvi, Cole Reagans, and get back to your thoughts after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Ball laced towards short pass Henderson into left field base hit. Garcia's in to score. Win rounds third. He comes in to score standing. A 2-run single for Salvador Perez. This is a 1-run game.
Jake Eisenberg on the call. That 4-run 7th inning turned turned an 8-3 game into an 8-7 game. Unfortunately, Royals went on to lose 9-7, and this series is knotted up at a game apiece, setting the stage for tomorrow's finale. A 1:10 first pitch, and the on-deck show begins at 12 noon with your chance to win tickets to see the Royals 2014 reunion weekend at Kauffman Stadium. So make sure you're listening tomorrow as we get ready for the finale between two of the best teams in the American League, at least early on in the season, the Royals and the Orioles. Salvi, as you heard there, a 2-run single in the 7th. Salvi drove in 5 tonight, matching a career high. A 3-run home run in the 6th, a 2-run single, like you just heard there, in the 7th. Throw in another base knock, and it's the 4th time this season Salvi's picked up 3 or more hits in a game. That's the most on the team. 913-586-7610. Speaking of Salvador Perez, the great number 13 spoke with the media following his 3-for-5, 5 RBI day. And the cameras and microphones of Bally Sports Kansas City were there.
Get down by 7 the second inning, and we never get up, you know. We're gonna compete. We're gonna fight to the last out like we do tonight, you know. Tonight's over. Concentration, get ready for tomorrow and win the series.
What do you think it says about your offense that you're able to fight?
Pretty good, pretty good. The guys, you know, start to hit pretty good. Benny started to do a hit, you know, Junior's still there. Mikey Garcia getting back, you know. I think it's part of the process, you know. It's learned to be big league, how they're going to pitch and all that. And try to get out on the bad moment quick as we can. Okay. Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
What'd you see out of Cole's start today? Like, how close were you trying to get out of this game?
Honestly, you guys, only one hard hit, and I think it was Santander. Besides that, was a bloopers, you know, weak contact, find the hole. Just one of the bad day, every starting pitcher in big league, somebody how good you are, you're going to get one like that every year. You know, the good thing is over and things going to happen for him again. Just concentration for the next one.
There you go. That's Salvador Perez following tonight's 9-7 loss to the Orioles. Salvi with his seventh multi-hit game this year. Only Bobby Witt Jr. has more on the team. You heard Salvi at the very beginning say, we always fight to the end. And that's because it's Salvi's team. So when I start the show saying the biggest takeaway for me is, holy crap, can you believe it took 21 games for this rotation to finally not give the team a chance to win? I don't say that to put down Cole Reagans. Cole Reagans is a star. I say it to highlight what Reagans and Lugo and Singer and Waka and Marsh have done this year. Yeah, the comeback was great. Yeah, I mean, I was caught up in it. I wanted to chant Bobby, Vinny, Salvi. I wanted to do it, but I was up in the press box, so I couldn't do it. But also, I'm not surprised that Salvi's awesome, or that Bobby's blazing speed leads to an infield knock and eventually the seventh run of the game. I'm not surprised when Vinny reaches base three times. I'm not surprised when Michael Garcia has a multi-hit night and scores two runs and drives in another. Those are your four horses. Those were the guys that we said, all right, we know what we're going to get from you. MJ, Nelson, Mass, what can you do for us? So I'm sorry that I'm not in the celebratory mode because the big four in your lineup had a big night. I expect them to have the occasional big night together. But I'm floored that this Royals team went 20 straight games with its starting pitcher giving them a chance to win. The past few years, to get 20 chances to win, you had to play 2 months of baseball. Royals have played just over 2 weeks. It's amazing. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Double J. Double J, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Always nice hearing from you, buddy. What'd you think of this one?
Hey, Vern. Thanks for taking the call. I was one of the 23,000 out there tonight. Great atmosphere tonight. Just a tough loss tonight. Unfortunately, Cole didn't have his stuff. I mean, that's baseball. Sometimes they're not going to have your best stuff. But I just love this fight and this team. I mean, the comeback our offense had and this bullpen, too, keeping us in the game, too. I mean, hey, I mean, what can you do? Move the page and or turn the page and let's go get a 2-out 3. Hopefully tomorrow with a on the bump. Let's go.
Appreciate
baby.
It. Thank you very
Appreciate
much, Double J.
It.
Always nice hearing from you, buddy. Honestly, I don't think the stuff was all that bad from Cole Reagans. I mean, I'll be interested to hear what he had to say. But you go through that second inning, and I see a few people on the text line that are looking for clarification as to what happened tonight for Cole Reagans. Well, in the first inning, he needed just 13 pitches to pick up 3 strikeouts and retire the side. Gunnar Henderson staring at 98 on the black. Ryan Mountcastle just watched 97 go by, and he blew 99 past Anthony Santander in the first. So, good start for Cole Reagans. But in the second inning, and he was getting ahead of guys, he was getting 2 strikes on a majority of these hitters, but he's ahead of Jared Westberg 0-2. Throws a changeup off the plate, nowhere near the strike zone, and Westberg just kind of floats it over Vinny's head into right field for a leadoff single. He then steals second base as Austin Hayes flies out to right field. Nice play by Hunter Renfroe. And then the seven hitter for Baltimore, Ramon Urias, on a 2-2 pitch, a poorly located changeup, middle of the plate, puts a nice easy swing on it, shoots it to left for an RBI double, 1-0 Baltimore. Then the eight hitter, James McCann, the catcher, the backup catcher for the Orioles. He falls behind, 1-2. Well, Reagans is about to punch his ticket, right? No, a poorly located slider that's out and over the plate. McCann puts a nice swing on it and singles to left. 2-0, Baltimore. The nine-hitter comes to the dish, and Cole Reagan gets him to swing through a changeup. Okay, you got two outs, one on. You're down 2-0. The lineup's turning over. I'm not sweating it. It's Cole Reagan's. Gunnar Henderson ambushes the first pitch that he sees and just guides it to right field. Didn't sting it. Okay, bases loaded, two outs. All right, time to lock in here, Cole. And he did. A nine-pitch battle with Adley Rutschman. But on that ninth pitch, he left a cutter up in the zone. Adley didn't miss it, put a nice swing on it, just a easy line drive to center field, scoring the Baltimore Orioles' third run of the inning. Okay, now you're starting to say, man, this is just, this might not be his night. Might not be the Royals' night, might not be Cole Reagan's night. Just can't put him away. Ryan Mountcastle, two strikes, singles to center. Anthony Santander, as Salvi just told you, he stung that one. That was a hard hit, double to left field, scoring another run. And just like that, it's 5-0. Westberg comes back up to the dish. Two strikes, two runs, single to center. And it's a 7-0 laugher. Cole Reagan's day is done. Let's hear what Cole Reagan's had to say following his inning and two-thirds of seven-run baseball. No walks, four strikeouts. Here's Cole.
Tonight, just flush it, you know. I got another start in 5 days I got to prepare for. So can't let this one bother me.
I wondered if you could just go through the second inning for us and a lot of two-strike hits and the two-out hits as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought I executed a few that they got enough of to find somewhere. But I also left a few over the plate that they hit hard, which hurt me. So just, you know, execution, pitch selection on my part just got to be better. So just got to execute better.
What was one of the, in second inning there, how big was it just to see your teammates still continue to fight back? And
yeah, it's huge. Seven runs should be enough to win. Like I said, got to move on. But yeah, seven runs is plenty to get a win. It's you know, just not my day.
What did you see with the Rutschman at bat there in the second, and that changed maybe the complexity of that whole inning? I know it was with two outs, but
yeah, no, I tried to throw a cutter, left it over the plate. He hit it hard, really good hitter. You know, he battled right there. I thought I made some good pitches. He fouled off until I made a mistake, and he made me pay for it.
I agree. Cole Reagan's following his second loss of the season. Reagan's 0-2. Eventually received some run support, but his night was done by then. Hey, I want to mention Vinny Pasquantino extending his hitting streak to 9 games. Vinny hitting .467 in that stretch. 8 walks and only 2 strikeouts. 9 extra base hits, 9 runs scored, 11 driven in that 9-game hitting streak for the undeniable Vinny Pasquantino. Thanks to Bally Sports Kansas City for that Cole Reagan's audio. Thanks to James Howell for the help back at the studio. Thanks to the 23,000 that turned out tonight. Hope to see you tomorrow. I'll talk to you tomorrow, beginning at 12 noon, live from the K. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday night, Kansas City. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Blast down the right field line. Hooking, stay fair, and gone. Pasquantino.
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
Deep left center, way back, and gone.
Welcome back to Vern's post-game show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Ball laced towards short pass Henderson into left field, base hit. Garcia's in to score. Wynn rounds third. He comes in to score standing. A two-run single for Salvador Perez. This is a one-run game.
Jake Eisenberg on the call. That four-run seventh inning turned to, man, turned an 8-3 game into an 8-7 game. Unfortunately, Royals went on to lose 9-7, and this series is knotted up at a game apiece, setting the stage for tomorrow's finale. A 1-10 first pitch, and the on-deck show begins at 12 noon with your chance to win tickets to see the Royals 2014 reunion weekend at Kauffman Stadium. So make sure you're listening tomorrow as we get ready for the finale between two of the best teams in the American League, at least early on in the season, the Royals and the Orioles. Salvi, as you heard there, a two-run single in the seventh. Salvi drove in five tonight, matching a career high. A three-run home run in the sixth, a two-run double, or excuse me, a two-run single, like you just heard there in the seventh, throw in another base knock, and it's the fourth time this season Salvi's picked up three or more hits in a game. That's the most on the team. 913-586-7610, speaking of Salvador Perez, the great number 13 spoke with the media following his 3-for-5, 5 RBI day. And the cameras and microphones of Bally Sports Kansas City were there.
Get down by 7 the second inning, and we never get up, you know. We're gonna compete. We're going to fight to the last out like we do tonight, you know. Tonight's over. Concentration, get ready for tomorrow and win the series.
What do you think it says about your offense that you're able to fight?
Pretty good, pretty good. The guys, you know, I start to hit pretty good. Benny started to do his chatting. Junior's still there. Mikey Garcia getting back, you know. I think it's part of the process, you know. It's learned to be big league, how they're going to pitch and all that. And try to get out on the bad moment quick as we can. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
What did you see out of Cole's start today? Like, how close were you trying to get out of this?
Honestly, you guys, only one hard hit, and I think it was Santander. Besides that, I was in the bloopers, you know, weak contact, find the hole. Just one of the bad days, every starting pitcher in big league, somebody how good you are, you're going to get one like that every year. You know, the good thing is over and things going to happen for him again. Just concentration for the next one.
There you go. That's Salvador Perez following tonight's 9-7 loss to the Orioles. Salvi with his seventh multi-hit game this year. Only Bobby Witt Jr. has more on the team. You heard Salvi at the very beginning say, we always fight to the end. And that's because it's Salvi's team. So when I start the show saying the biggest takeaway for me is, holy crap, can you believe it took 21 games for this rotation to finally not give the team a chance to win? I don't say that to put down Cole Reagans. Cole Reagans is a star. I say it to highlight what Reagans and Lugo and Singer and Waka and Marsh have done this year. Yeah, the comeback was great. Yeah, I mean, I was caught up in it. I wanted to chant Bobby, Vinny, Salvi. I wanted to do it, but I was up in the press box, so I couldn't do it. But also, I'm not surprised that Salvi's awesome, or that Bobby's blazing speed leads to an infield knock and eventually the seventh run of the game. I'm not surprised when Vinny reaches base three times. I'm not surprised when Michael Garcia has a multi-hit night and scores two runs and drives in another. Those are your four horses. Those were the guys that we said, all right, we know what we're going to get from you. MJ, Nelson, Mass, what can you do for us? So I'm sorry that I'm not in the celebratory mode because the big four in your lineup had a big night. I expect them to have the occasional big night together. But I'm floored that this Royals team went 20 straight games with its starting pitcher giving them a chance to win. The past few years, to get 20 chances to win, you had to play 2 months of baseball. Royals have played just over 2 weeks. It's amazing. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Double J. Double J, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Always nice hearing from you, buddy. What'd you think of this one?
Hey, Vern. Thanks for taking the call. I was one of the 23,000 out there tonight. Great atmosphere tonight. Just a tough loss tonight. Unfortunately, Cole didn't have his stuff. I mean, that's baseball. Sometimes they're not going to have your best stuff. But I just love this fight and this team. I mean, the comeback our offense had and this bullpen, too, keeping us in the game, too. I mean, hey, I mean, what can you do? Move the page and or turn the page and let's go get a 2-out 3. Hopefully tomorrow we'll start with a Seth Rigo on the bump. Let's go.
Appreciate
baby.
It. Thank you very appreciate much, Double J. It. Always nice hearing from you, buddy. Honestly, I don't think the stuff was all that bad from Cole Reagans. I mean, I'll be interested to hear what he had to say. But you go through that second inning, and I see a few people on the text line that are looking for clarification as to what happened tonight for Cole Reagans. Well, in the first inning, he needed just 13 pitches to pick up 3 strikeouts and retire the side. Gunnar Henderson staring at 98 on the black. Ryan Mountcastle just watched 97 go by, and he blew 99 past Anthony Santander in the first. So, good start for Cole Reagans. But in the second inning, and he was getting ahead of guys, he was getting 2 strikes on a majority of these hitters, but he's ahead of Jared Westberg, 0-2, throws a changeup off the plate, nowhere near the strike zone, and Westberg just kind of floats it over Vinny's head into right field for a leadoff single. He then steals second base as Austin Hayes flies out to right field. Nice play by Hunter Renfroe. And then the 7-hitter for Baltimore, Ramon Urias, on a 2-2 pitch, a poorly located changeup, middle of the plate, puts a nice easy swing on it, shoots it to left for an RBI double, 1-0 Baltimore. Then the 8-hitter, James McCann, the catcher, the backup catcher for the Orioles. He falls behind, 1-2. Well, Reagans is about to punch his ticket, right? No, a poorly located slider that's out and over the plate. McCann puts a nice swing on it and singles to left. 2-0, Baltimore. The 9-hitter comes to the dish, and Cole Reagan gets him to swing through a changeup. Okay, you got 2 outs, 1 on. You're down 2-0. The lineup's turning over. I'm not sweating it. It's Cole Reagans. Gunnar Henderson ambushes the first pitch that he sees and just guides it to right field. Didn't sting it. Okay, bases loaded, 2 outs. All right, time to lock in here, Cole. And he did. A 9-pitch battle with Adley Rutschman. But on that 9th pitch, he left a cutter up in the zone. Adley didn't miss it. Put a nice swing on it. Just a easy line drive to center field, scoring the Baltimore Orioles' 3rd run of the inning. Okay, now you're starting to say, man, this is just this might not be his night. Might not be the Royals' night. Might not be Cole Reagan's night. Just can't put him away. Ryan Mountcastle, 2 strikes. Singles to center. Anthony Santander, as Salvi just told you, he stung that one. That was a hard hit, double to left field, scoring another run. And just like that, it's 5-0. Westberg comes back up to the dish. 2 strikes, 2-run single to center. And it's a 7-0 laugher. Cole Reagan's day is done. Let's hear what Cole Reagan's had to say following his inning and 2/3 of 7-run baseball. No walks, 4 strikeouts. Here's Cole.
Tonight, just flush it, you know. I got another start in 5 days I got to prepare for, so can't let this one bother me.
Wanted to
if you can just go through this, the second inning for us, and a lot of two strike hits and the two out hits as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought I executed a few that they got enough of to find somewhere, but I also left a few over the plate that they hit hard, which hurt me. So just, you know, execution, pitch selection on my part just got to be better. So just got to execute better.
What was one of the, in the second inning there, how big was it just to see your teammates still continue to fight back?
Yeah, it's huge. 7 runs should be enough to win. No, it's, you know, like I said, got to move on. But yeah, 7 runs is plenty to get a win. It's you know, just not my day.
What did you see with the Rutschman at bat there in the second, and that changed maybe the complexity of that whole inning? I know he was with 2 outs, but...
Yeah, no, I tried to throw a cutter, left it over the plate, and he hit it hard. Really good hitter. You know, he battled right there. I thought he made some good pitches. He fouled off until I made a mistake, and he made me pay for it.
I agree. Cole Reagans following his second loss of the season. Reagans 0-2. Eventually received some run support, but his night was done by then. Hey, I want to mention Vinny Pasquantino extending his hitting streak to 9 games. Vinny hitting .467 in that stretch, 8 walks and only 2 strikeouts. 9 extra base hits, 9 runs scored, 11 driven in that 9-game hitting streak for the undeniable Vinny Pasquantino. Thanks to Bally Sports Kansas City for that Cole Reagans audio. Thanks to James Howell for the help back at the studio. Thanks to the 23,000 that turned out tonight. Hope to see you tomorrow. I'll talk to you tomorrow, beginning at 12 noon, live from the K. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday night, Kansas City. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Blast down the right field line. Hooking, stay fair, and gone. Pasquantino.
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
Deep left center, way back.